This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. And yesterday, a big day at Gulfstream with, I suppose, some potential champions in the mix. Certainly, there was some very good stakes racing, and you would think some of these horses will be vying in various divisions for year-end championships, or at least will be vying during the year. We'll see how what situation they wind up in as we get into November and December, but it was a nice stakes day down at Gulfstream yesterday. We'll touch on that. Also hit on the Saudi Cup a little bit later on. We'll do a little handicapping. Maybe we'll take a look at some action at Aqueduct for today, give you a little preview there. And then in the next half hour, be joined by our friend Steve Bick. I thought I'd reach out to him, get some of his thoughts on the stakes action yesterday, the Fountain of Youth and more, three-year-old scene at this point of the year, and some of the racing news recently. All of that, as I say, coming up at 10:40 or so this morning. But we'll kind of kick things off. First, I want to kick things off and say thanks to everybody who came down to the racebook yesterday. I mean, with a big day kicking off at 8 o'clock, doors open at 8 o'clock for the Saudi Cup action, and then continued, post time at Fountain of Youth was after 6 o'clock. And the racebook out here was rocking yesterday. Nice crowd, everybody into the racing. We had a couple of bankrolls. Sully had a bankroll online. I had a live bankroll. I wound up, I think, with 280. Sully had 4-something. So everybody on the bankroll teams wound up with some money. It was one of those days. I had two triples that literally I got photoed out of third for that. I had a 9-1 shot down at Tampa that I put 20 to win on that cut the corner and was coming up the rail and looked like a winner. And just, it was a race with a 1-5 shot. It was a maiden race. It was just the 1-5 shot looked like probably the horse to beat, but at 1-5 in that kind of a field with that kind of a situation, we're taking a little shot against. And so, again, we took a shot with the 9-1 horse who, again, 8th pole looked like a winner coming up the rail and just couldn't get past another long shot. So ran 2nd in there at a price. So there was the two triples and then that horse. And then we got to, with my bankroll, I got to the last leg at Gulfstream. The Fountain of Youth had 3 horses alive for pick 4s and pick 5s. A couple of them were paying $400. The Chad Brown horse was paying $1,400. Again, combined with pick 4 and pick 5 plays in there. So it would have wound up to be a very nice day. You had Dennis's moment in the mix, as seen on TV, and the Chad Brown horse, Ete Indian. I liked the horse. I thought the outside post position may be a little bit of a knock, but hats off to the Flavian Pratt, who kind of quarter horse to the eventual winner out there and got it done. And that one, I kind of kicked myself that I left it. It was just out of my mix, and it would have kicked the ticket up a little bit, 2 tickets if I went on both. Again, we were live, right? And that's what you want. You want to be live to the end for a nice day and just couldn't get it over the finish line quite with the two scores that would have made it a very nice day. But again, everybody wound up a little bit of money on the bankroll teams yesterday, and we certainly appreciate your participating, everybody who came down here to the racebook and enjoyed a nice day of action yesterday. All right, let's take a look at some of that action. And what did I do with my charts? Now I'm I sat here before the show started. I pulled all my charts out, and now I'm not sure what I did with my charts. There's my charts for later, my charts for currently, but we can certainly. I don't know what I did with my. They got to be sitting right here, and I apologize for having the delay here. Because I sat here right before the show, parsed them all out, and now I don't know where I put them. I put them right there. I put them on the table next to me. Who would have thought? All right, now I'm ready. I'm ready to go. All right, let's kick things off in the looking at some of the stakes action from Gulfstream yesterday. Three-year-old action on the sprint side in the Hutchison. I like Chivalry. Chivalry did go off as the 4-5 favorite. Chivalry's going to be the number 5 horse here in a kind of a short 6 horse field. Our Nation on Parade was also interesting to me, and that went off as a second choice at 5-2. That's the 6 horse. But the winner, 18-1, second longest price on the board, is With Verve. Gets it done. Edgar Prado on board, who's had a really nice winter season, just late. Gets up there in kind of a blanket finish. The chart margin is neck and half a length between the top four there, but With Verve getting it done. Off a win last time against State Bred Optional Claimers, and with a number that I seemed a little lighter than the best of this bunch, but boy, it looked pretty good yesterday. Coming up, as I say, on the outside there to get it done. In the Hutchison, we'll see. This is kind of a fun subdivision every year. These 3-year-old sprinters, there are certainly plenty of opportunities. A lot of the big days, the big stakes days that come up on the calendar for the major 3-year-old races have somewhere on the agenda a 3-year-old sprint race. So we'll see how things shake out as far as these 3-year-old sprinters. And I'm not sure With Verve is going to be making a lot of noise going forward, although maybe in start number 8, this is kind of a breakthrough performance. But even the horses, Chivalry has done some nice stakes things before, and he winds up running second, again, in a good mix there. That's one that I think probably stands a chance going forward to make some noise in the division. Our Nation on Parade with the third and only the third career start. Again, I'm not totally convinced yet on With Verve, although, like I say, maybe that was a little bit of a breakout performance. We will know. For me, give me one more from With Verve before I am going to step up and make a real decision there. All right, speaking of the fun subdivisions, let's take a look at the Palm Beach. These are 3-year-olds on the turf. This was one... I did not like Vitalogy at all. I shouldn't say that. I mean, I had a couple of notes next to the horse, but ran third in the summer up at Woodbine on the move to North America, started the career over in Europe, and then ran a nice second in the Bourbon, but both of those races was kind of coming from out of the clouds, and I thought being the outside post position on Saturday and a come-from-the-clouds kind of style. Maybe the outside post position, now you got it. It's not a knock because you're going to be at the back of the pack anyway. Certainly worked out yesterday, although he winds up much more in the hunt than he had in his first two American starts. Vitalogy is the number 12 horse here, and he wound up the 2-1 favorite. And as I say, I was not totally convinced on that one. I put South Bend on top. That's the 7 who runs third, getting up, coming late. The 7 gets up, but the 1 gets the jump on him, Tiesto. I also had that horse in my mix. I thought that was a player. I like the 8 as well, Life on Top. Life on Top, a little disappointing, running 7th in there. But Vitalogy gets it done. Javier Castellano on board for Brendan Walsh. And again, this was only the 4th career start, the 3rd start in North America. In a subdivision, you hear me talk about quite a bit, a subdivision that I like, these 3-year-olds on turf. And I think some of these can come out and be players in this division, including the Brendan Walsh winner, who certainly looked good leaving from the outside post position. And as I say, as opposed to his first two North American starts, was much more in the thick of things early and still looked good late. But I thought that, you know, Tiesto, South Bend with nice late runs also ran well. So I think, as I say, horses can come out of this race and be players in that nice three-year-old turf division going forward. Turf subdivision going for, you know, three-year-olds on the turf. Honey Fox, another one that was a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. Get Mother a Rose for Tommy Bush. Fun to see Tommy Bush get it done. Had run fourth to Atomic Blonde last time, and Atomic Blonde was in here. I liked Atomic Blonde as the 2-to-1 favorite. Atomic Blonde winds up running eighth. Atomic Blonde's the number two horse. Get Mother a Rose is the number 7 horse, makes a nice late run, as you can see here under Junior Alvarado, and gets by Silver Kitten. Sister Hanan runs third. Lefebvre, the Safi Joseph horse, we talked to Safi on the show yesterday, and I said to him, and I tossed the horse in the mix, I thought Lefebvre might be sitting on a nice race. Okay, fourth in there at 8-to-1. So some prices in the Honey Fox, 11-to-1, 9-to-1, 15-to-1, and 8-to-1. Get Mother a Rose. Again, coming off the fourth place last time behind Atomic Blonde. The race right before that was a win. It was last November up in Aqueduct in an optional claimer. The last race, that South Beach behind Atomic Blonde, was the stakes debut for Get Mother a Rose. You know, looked to fit with the bunch on a, with this bunch on a best effort. I just thought, for my handicapping, there were others that I found a little more attractive. But it was a nice win for, again, Junior Alvarado, Tommy Bush, and Get Mother a Rose at 11-to-1, $24.80. I know, as I say, that there was a lot of people out in the parlor yesterday, and I was kind of bouncing out during the day, and I know there were some people out there to like Get Mother of Rose, Vitalogy as well, took a little action out there. And in fact, I think Sully had used Vitalogy in his bankroll play. So again, they were horses that for me, I just found in those races, others that were maybe a little more interesting, a little more attractive, but both of those were kind of playable. And as I say, you know, going back to with Verve as well, Vitalogy maybe not so much. The three-year-olds, the three-year-old boys on the turf, but the other two, let me see going forward what we have coming out of those races and see if, you know, performances get validated a little bit. The very one, next up on the stakes schedule yesterday at Gulfstream, and it's actually, since the horse's name was The Very One, the name of the race is The Very One. The Very One. And if you hear somebody, you know, reading the past performances, they're not stuttering. It's The Very One. So The Very One yesterday at Gulfstream. It'll be number 8, Elizabeth Way, 14-to-1, Romantic Pursuit. The number 7 runs second at 8-to-1. La Signere runs third at 11-to-1. I liked number 5, Cap de Crew. I thought that horse was a little bit interesting. Went off as the favorite. I was a little bit surprised there. 8-to-1 on the morning line, but the betting public agreed with me. They made it the 5-to-2 favorite. The number 5, Cap de Crew, winds up a disappointing 8th with a little trouble in the trip. But again, another race on the card where things kind of blew up, at least as far as the board. $30.80 for Elizabeth Way in here. You know, she was playable. This is another one where I had some notes next to this horse, and this was one that maybe had a little more upside, and as I say, was a little more playable. Again, it was a race where I found some others more attractive, but this one wasn't. A couple of the winners on the card yesterday, maybe a little bit of a head scratcher to me. This one, not so much, though. I had come over from Europe and arrived at Gulfstream middle of January for a maiden special weight, maiden breaker for Roger Atfield. So was class-wise maybe stepping up a little bit here, and so the 14-to-1 price was deserved. But, you know, a horse coming off of a maiden breaker on the move to America, proven itself over the Gulfstream Park turf course. So that was one where you could look up at the board and, 14-1, there's a horse maybe I could play around with a little bit. As I say, there was others that I found a little more attractive, and as did the rest of the betting public at, $30 and change. But again, it was playable if you were searching around for a little something to maybe come up with a price. All right, here comes the bride. The earlier stakes race was the three-year-old boys on the turf. The Here Comes the Bride for the three-year-old ladies on the turf. I like the number six, In a Hurry, from Shug. In a Hurry at 5-1, kind of disappoints running seventh. Cheermeister, the number five, who I had down at the bottom of my mix. I thought coming off of the win in the Swedish Chant was a would be a player in here. So I had Cheermeister in my mix. Cheermeister takes them all the way around. So showed kind of a new, has been racing on the front end over the past few starts, including that win in the Swedish Chant, but repeats on the front end at 9-1. I thought the good price there. Abscond, the number seven, another horse that I had in my mix, winds up running second, and Declaration Warrior, 10-1, runs third. Abscond was the 5-2 favorite in there. But Cheermeister, $20.60 over the favorite Abscond. So you got a nice little exacta there. For a buck, you got $42 and change back with a couple of horses that, again, for me, this one was a little more logical, with Cheermeister down towards the bottom of my mix, but I thought playable off of that win last time in the Swedish Chant. Prior to that, had been in the Ginger Brew and showed a little early speed before fading badly. But last time, took him all the way around and did the same thing yesterday. Jaramillo on board for Armando de la Serta. Jaramillo, again, one of those guys I've talked about over the past couple of years. When he kind of showed up on the scene, he immediately attracted my attention. Continues to ride very well down there. And he gets it done in the Here Comes the Bride. Moving on to the the Canadian turf. we'll skip, because I'll save the Devona Dale for when we talk to our man Bick. We'll move on to the Canadian turf. A mile on the grass, as the name would suggest. This was one of my bankroll plays that scored me out a little bit. Took a little $30 win shot on Sambaye, and I also tipped my cap to our colleague Brian Addo, and we talked on the handicapper support yesterday. He was very high. Sambaye was his play of the day. And Sambaye, with a nice late run, gets it done at a $9 mutual, went off at 7-2 as the favorite. Lukewarm favorite, but you'll see number five, Sambaye, make a nice run here to get up and get it done over number eight, English B, who closes. Hey Dakota winds up third in here. Gidu was another horse I found interesting. That one winds up fifth, however, but holding on against the late run after having gotten to the lead about mid-stretch. Sambaye, Flavian Pratt on board for Todd Pletcher, coming out of a second place finish in an optional claimer last time, but with a pretty good number. That was the seasonal debut after having run second in the Hall of Fame last year. So it'd been off since Saratoga last year, before the January 26th comeback event. And I thought it was a good comeback with a lifetime best buyer. So it seemed like maybe still some upside potential for Sambaye in the second start of the four-year-old season. And again, it was a nice win. And a nice little price. Again, favorite, but a lukewarm favorite at 7-2. So you got $9. And as I say, for my bankroll, that kind of helped things out as well, as we did take a little swing there on the win end. And let's take one more look at Gulfstream yesterday and take a look at the McDermida was what they. I always said McDermida, but it seems like the consensus is McDermida, so I guess maybe I'll go with that. As Brian Addo said, race number 13, just keep it easy. In the McDermida yesterday at Gulfstream, another horse I liked and helped move forward in our pick plays with the bankroll, which again didn't pan out in the Fountain of Youth. But I like Zulu Alpha quite a bit, and Zulu Alpha does get it done in here. Just seems to be on point, having come off a very nice win in the Pegasus turf Won that day, solid buyer number that day, follows it up in yesterday's stakes race. And as you can see, Zulu Alpha, the number six horse here, when Tyler Gaffleone kind of gets that one straightened out, goes on by number seven, Admission Office, who was a horse I had down at the bottom of my mix. I thought that horse was playable. You got 11 to 1 there, so a little price. Saddler's Joy, who I had right underneath Zulu Alpha, winds up third. Channel Maker also in my mix. So the four horses I thought were players came in. Zulu Alpha was the horse I had on top, and then they were a little juggled up underneath. But you wound up, you were okay with playing, you know, Zulu Alpha, even money favorite. You got just under $20 for a buck on the exact of the 50-cent try, just over $30. So a little value there, despite the favorite getting it done. Zulu Alpha, even money over 11 to 1, over 3 to 1. Superfecta 8 to 1, wrap that up. So again, there are some of the stakes races from yesterday at Gulfstream. We'll hit on some of the others when Mr. Bick joins us a little bit later on. Before we go to break, we'll take a look at the Saudi Cup, and we'll hit on that with Steve as well. But I just wanted to take a shot to show you Maximum Security with the win in the Saudi Cup. Little controversy. Mucho Gusto is on the lead here. Kind of comes out. That's Maximum Security behind Luis Saez, then ducks inside. I did see the head on subsequently, and Mucho Gusto is going out. And then he does come back in when Maximum Security goes in. But Mucho Gusto just gets tired, and Maximum Security eventually punches by. Down on the rail, Midnight Bijou. This was a great race. Jeff Bloom and company's horse. Midnight Bijou ran big, and subsequently Mucho Gusto also gets caught at the wire by Ben Battle. That was one of my triple beats with my bankroll. Had Mucho Gusto held on, would have had a nice little try there. But it is a big win. You know, headline yesterday called it Vindication for Maximum Security. Top of the stretch, I thought Mucho Gusto was just going to keep going, and Maximum Security wasn't going to get by. And as I say, there was a little controversy in that a lot of people were pointing to IRAD and thought there was some race riding there with Mucho Gusto coming out and going in. Jason Service wasn't happy with it. Luis Saez kind of hinted that he also wasn't going to say anything really and just enjoy the victory, but a little bit upset maybe with Mucho Gusto's antics in the stretch. I don't know, but to me, it looked like maybe the horse was just getting tired and kind of went out and then came back in. And subsequently, the fact that he winds up running fourth seems to indicate he was just, you know, a 16th of a mile beyond where he wanted to run as far as distance on Saturday out in Saudi Arabia. But Maximum Security winds up, and you can see here, once he gets going, he goes by, and Mucho Gusto just kind of can't hold off the onslaught behind him, winding up fourth. But Americans run 1-2 with a very nice performance from Maximum Security and a really nice second-place finish also for Midnight Bijou. And I believe she's now... They were undecided as far as Maximum Security, as far as Dubai, with the owners, Coolmore, Gary and Mary West, kind of sitting back and saying, we're going to take the word of Jason Service. And Jason Service said, I'm going to see how he does. He ran very hard, so we're going to kind of wait and see how he comes out of it, how he does before making any decisions, whether they move on to the Dubai World Cup. But it sounded from the Midnight Bijou camp, it sounded like they plan to continue on to Dubai. It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out as well. All right, there's some of the stakes action, some of the really nice stakes action yesterday from Gulfstream out in Saudi Arabia with the Saudi Cup. $20 million with the Americans taking down the lion's share of that with the 1-2 finish. We'll take a little break. We'll do a little handicapping. I'll take a little look at Aqueduct for Sunday afternoon. And then after that, we'll be joined by our buddy Steve Bick. Get some of his impressions on the stakes action yesterday. And we'll hit on, of course, on the Fountain of Youth as well. So all of that coming up when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Let's jump in a little handicapping segment. Take a look at the late pick four at Aqueduct today, for today. And again, this is prior to scratches, obviously. But the sixth race at Aqueduct this afternoon, optional claimer, starter allowance. It's the one-turn mile in the sixth at Aqueduct. I have it 1, 4, 8, and 7. Mr. Short and Simple. You know, they got ambitious last time and tried the Withers. Horse had trouble there and just got pulled up and eased. Cutting back to the one-turn mile where this horse won two back and, you know, stepping into more logical company class-wise, I think Mr. Short and Simple will bounce back to a decent performance this afternoon. Thunder Day, interesting from Jim Lawrence and Matt Shearer. First couple of starts of the career, Penn National. Broke the maiden for a 25 tag at Penn National, so class-wise, how is that going to stack up? And then tried Allowance Company at Penn National last time and ran third. And again, it's always hard for me to judge these Penn National shippers because we don't see a lot of them in New York. I'm never sure how to match up the numbers there. But with this team and with this horse having run a couple of decent races there and that they elect to come to New York, you know, they're based in Fair Hill, so they have options to go a lot of different places. I'll trust the team to be making the right judgment. I think Thunder Day becomes a player in here. And Tapazirance in the third spot for me. Brad Cox trainee coming out of the maiden breaker last time. Has only been in the Brad Cox barn for a couple of starts, and it seems like now they have the horse moving in the right direction. And given that, he actually may be the horse to beat because certainly ran a number last time that has an edge on this group. And again, you look overall and you think, oh, nine starts, just broke the maiden last time. It was only the second time with Brad Cox, though. So as they say, maybe they kind of figured the horse out and he's just good right now. Jason Service, Michael Dubb have my sacred place. I put that one down in the fourth spot. But again, with those connections, you kind of have to pay attention to my sacred place as well. We'll get some thoughts on race seven from our man, Bick. He has Carlisle Bell in here. I have Carlisle Bell in my mix in the seventh. It's a state bred allowance. 2, 5, 7, and 1. The number two, Dahl, goes out for Jason Service, Michael Dubb and company. And again, you always have to pay attention to those connections. Broke the maiden last time in career start, number seven, but had been knocking at the door in virtually all the other races. Number-wise, stacks up nicely with this group. Some of these have some back numbers that are okay. Party in the Rain in particular. But those were up at Finger Lakes. The move down to Aqueduct wasn't quite as fruitful. So I put Party in the Rain down at the bottom of my four. Otherwise, I think the numbers that Dahl is firing just compare nicely with this group. Collegeville Girl in the second spot. Race two back was a good second. The last start, the buyer went forward. The finishing position, not so much. But I just look at this group and think Collegeville Girl, probably on the improving numbers, is a solid fit in here. And then I did put Carlisle Bell underneath. Last race, a little bit of a head-scratcher, but boy, she had been making some nice closing kick efforts just prior to that. There's, three races where the horse was really kind of getting up in the mix with a nice, as I say, sustained late run. I'm hoping we get back to that. Eric Cancel on board. He's riding very well right now. So I'll put we'll root for DT and Carlisle Bell. And I think, again, if we can get back to what we saw two, three starts back, she could be right in the mix. Could be a little bit of fun for the DT folks. And the seventh at Aqueduct, 2-5-7-1. Race number eight at Aqueduct, optional claimer. Non-winners are two other than mile and an eighth. I have a 3-5-4-6. Patagonia on top. Patagonia. Eric Cancel for trainer Jonathan Thomas. Only career start number four. Started the career in the barn of Todd Pletcher. And as I say, now goes out for Jonathan Thomas. I think he's going to be a decent fit with this group. Started the career with a couple of second place finishes. One of those was a win via a DQ, however, in the career debut. So broke the maiden in the career debut, albeit coming under the wire second. but subsequently won an allowance race last time. So two wins, one on DQ, two wins in three career starts. Just in good form right now. Seems like a good fit with this group. Patagonia on top. Frank's Gun is loaded in the second spot. Danny Gargan, trainee, and he is just red hot down there at Aqueduct this season. This horse coming in off a nice allowance win last time here at Aqueduct, and off of that race, and the fact that Gargan is, I mean, daily racing form stats, 42% at the meet. And so, you know, you combine the good form and Gargan's good form. Good form for the horse, good form for the trainer. Frank's Gun is loaded, belongs right in the thick of things, and then Roaming Union in the third spot. On a best effort, this horse clearly fits with this group, as does It's All Relevant. You know, you look underneath, and there are some numbers that put both of those horses right in. They're maybe just a little bit inconsistent, but given that, that's just the situation of you don't know when they're going to come out and really, really feel it and run a big effort. So you always have to kind of think, is today the day? And if it is, either one of those could be right up in the thick of things. In the eighth at Aqueduct, 3-5-4-6. And finally, race number nine at Aqueduct on this Sunday afternoon. Conditional claimer, 6 furlongs the trip, 4-3-6-8. Air on Fire on top for me. Hadn't been seen since the beginning of the Saratoga meet when this horse came back late in January. Claimed out of the Saratoga start and then came back in a waiver event for Linda Rice. Now comes back for the 16 tag off of that seasonal debut, which looks like one that could have put some fitness into the horse. And if so, I'm not sure given the scenario, that long layoff certainly makes you scratch your head a little bit. If this horse is going to be as good as he was, you know, late spring, summer last year. But I think there was enough oomph shown in the seasonal debut to think this horse, I think, is going to be okay. And again, if we do benefit from that first start, should be a good fit with this group. Elios Milos in the second slot, just in good form against fairly similar over the past couple of starts. And then Quest for Fire also seems to belong with this group and should compete in the ninth at Aqueduct. I have it 4-3-6-8. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back, be joined by our friend Steve Bick. He'll give some thoughts, some of his thoughts on some of the action from yesterday, including we'll take a look at the Fountain of Youth as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Here in upstate New York, no one provides bettors with more wagering options than Capital OTB. Our network of ranch and easy bet locations stretches from the mid-Hudson Valley all the way to the Canadian border and west to central New York. So whether you need to place a bet, fund your Capital Bets account, or watch the next big race, all the action is just around the corner. A full list of our branch and easy bet locations can be found online at CapitalOTB.com. Capital OTB, the better and most convenient choice for wagering in upstate New York.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Steve Bick. Steve, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Happy to have you on. Talk a little bit. I heard on the radio, you're heading down to Ocala for the sale in a couple of weeks?
Going to go do the sale coverage again. Last year, we had such a fun 2 days at the new remodeled OBS Pavilion. Tom Ventura and the staff, and so many owners and top horsemen are in attendance, and it's a great couple of days. Really starting to look forward to it.
Yeah, I have wanted to make the sale. I've wanted to go to that day of races there. And a few years ago, I was kind of trying to do it. And I think, if I remember correctly, I just spent 2 extra days on the beach. But I went up and drove by the facility just so I could say I saw it. It's a nice location, nice facility. And obviously, the sales are very productive as well. Before we get to some of the racing action and some racing news, I just wanted to take a little left turn. And we have a picture I pulled up from your Twitter feed because I wanted to give you a chance to brag a little bit. I had texted you, Grandpa Steve, and give my best to Tina as well, and obviously the father and the mother, but a new arrival in the family, as it were, Grandpa Steve there holding the baby, and I texted you, I said, man, that is one cute baby.
She really is. Her name is Lennon, and of course, those in the Capital District that are college football fans, very familiar with the father, Tina's oldest son, Zach Luke, and his wife, Andrea, and boy, the baby just is as precious and perfect. I mean, that first day, we were there within hours of her birth, 3 o'clock in the morning, a week ago Thursday, and we jumped in the car and drove to Rochester and spent a couple of days, and it's just pretty magical. And for me, it's a treat because it's my my only experience. As Andy Serling said the other day, you backed into being a grandpa.
I said I'm envious. You tied into a nice little family there, and she is really, she is super cute from the pictures. And Dino, I think it was a Facebook thing. Dino in the control room the other day brought in a video of Tina holding the baby as well, but I'm assuming maybe that was a Facebook thing because I just went to your Twitter. But tell Tina again, give the whole family our best. That was a lot of fun to see.
Very kind. Very exciting. Thank you.
Speaking of the family, before we get to some of that other news, I just handicapped the late pick 4 at Aqueduct, and I said I tossed Carlisle Bell into the mix, and I'm hoping she gets back to what we saw 2 and 3 starts ago and makes that nice late kick in the 7th race today. So we're wishing you the best there as well.
Thanks. And she ended up being off 60 days sort of inadvertently, racing off of some shenanigans that kept us out of a race 4 weeks ago. But she's doing great. And I would prefer 6.5 or 7, but you got to take what becomes available. She should come running late. Hopefully, Cancel, who seems to be just carrying horses to the line, hopefully Eric times it right. I don't know if there's enough speed to set her up, but she'll don't make her run, as she usually does.
Yeah, I'd have her in the mix. I'm looking for a little noise in the stretch, so I'm wishing you good luck there. All right, before we get to some of the racing action, let's hit on a couple of the news stories. You and I were talking before we went on the air, and as we texted back and forth, a couple of news stories worth noting. One yesterday, one was a surprise. Mike Welch, late yesterday, kind of broke the news. John Velasquez separating from his longtime agent and mentor, really. I mean, John said it himself. He's the guy who brought Johnny to America and kind of has been kind of mentoring him right along. Separating from Angel Cordero and moving on to Ron Anderson as his agent. And as I said, as I read that, shocking news.
Well, this started to foment last week, and it actually, you know, happened a few days ago, and I don't think anybody wanted to, you know, to interrupt essentially, you know, an important day of racing on Saturday. I thought the forum handled it quite appropriately, waiting until after the race day, and it's unfortunate. But you know, in terms of the mechanics of it, it's pretty easy to understand. And if this wasn't Angel and Johnny, you know, together for three decades, and you know, a Hall of Fame pairing, I don't think people would be as stunned, but it basically comes down to what transpired with Angel's other job, Manny Franco, because Manny couldn't work his the law last week for Barkley Tag. Johnny got on and worked the Saratoga Colt and asked Angel, get me on this horse. And Angel understandably said, Barkley's happy with Manny and isn't changing. And apparently that was the flashpoint for this. And it's unfortunate. But I'm also a little, I'm not surprised that Ron Anderson, I mean, if John Velasquez calls you to take his book, you say yes. And there isn't much discussion. However, the slightly odd jockey out in this is Umberto Rispoli, who is clearly a big talent, and somebody's going to end up with Rispoli and is going to be, you know, very happy, because that guy can ride. I mean, he's not some, you know, some bug boy that's just starting a career. He's an international success, and he's already, you know, landed in a bunch of top barns, won the stake yesterday for Jeff Mullins. A difficult situation, I think, for everybody involved, but it's fairly typical racetrack stuff.
Yeah, and as I read the story, and I was thinking more on the Anderson side of things, because, as you say, he's going to have to leave one of his jockeys out in California. He also represents Joel Rosario, so he'll come back east with Joel Rosario, and then add John Velasquez. And I was thinking, it's a funny situation that you would think more often than not, more often than you hear about, puts agents in that kind of jackpot when you have two jockeys and two very good jockeys. And he's certainly going to have that again. And for folks who aren't familiar, certainly I've been around long enough, and as I was driving in this morning, I was trying to think, there probably are two or three others. I just couldn't think of them. But Ron Anderson, when you talk on the jockey agent side, probably one of the best known guys. And again, for folks who have been around the game a while, best known probably for his partnership with Jerry Bailey at, you know, the pinnacle of his career. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But again, jockey agents, for folks who don't know, can handle a couple jockeys, and you would think you would hear about it more often than you do, that there are those kind of situations where one jockey is looking at the situation of the other jockey and kind of questioning what the agent has done.
Well, of course, Ryan Anderson is affectionately called the man who runs racing. That comes from his real heyday. For many years, jocks could only have one journeyman and one apprentice.
Yeah.
And then in the last 10 years, they could now have two journeymen. And that sort of changed the landscape. Yeah, Ron is undoubtedly this year is best known. But Steve Rushing, you think back a couple of generations, Vince DeGregory, was born in Greenwood. His family is still in the area, and Vince, you know, fucking 90, Vince still climbs. He's been playing some legends, Scotty McClellan, Doc Danner, who has Pat Day.
Oh, yeah, Doc, yeah, there you go.
There's all kinds. I mean, and then there's, you know, there's famous, you know, old guys, besides the Hat. Oh, my gosh.
Harry.
Yeah, there's Harry the Hat. Yeah, there you go. It's a maligned profession on the racetrack, you know, because jock agents are the brunt of racetrack humor, but it's obviously, you know, a major part of what goes on day to day.
One more news item I wanted to touch on. And again, we were talking before we went on the air. The resurgence of Maryland racing in the past, well, I mean, 10 years, probably less than 10 years, but certainly in the news over the past year or so, Pimlico and the situation down there. But Maryland, again, having some good news coming out recently on their side of the thing.
Well, this project that was spearheaded by Alan Foreman, and it ended up being Alan's legacy. I talked about this the other day. The legislature and the whole plan that is not just going to redevelop Pimlico, but it's also going to raise Laurel and rebuild Laurel. And the Flanagan group, who were at odds with the city of Baltimore less than a year ago, that has been completely smoothed over. They're going to give the property at Old Hilltop to the city of Baltimore. Then the stadium authority is going to float bonds for this $380 million project, and it's going to be unbelievable. The Preakness will be at Pimlico in perpetuity. There won't be a long process, and it's just not leaving the city. It's also, the rebuilding of Pimlico is going to spearhead, ideally, all kinds of investment into Park Heights. This is going to be a multi-use facility for the community. It's such a great story. Anne Arundel County benefits. Laurel will have potential to be built exactly how the Stronach Group was hoping all along. This thing is amazing. It went through the Senate Budget Committee the other day. It's going to sail through both sides of the aisle in Annapolis. It has complete support. There's literally not one dissenting voice that is going to tie this up, and it's going to happen, and I think it's one of the best stories in racing, and Alan Foreman will be remembered forever for what he accomplished here.
Yeah, to get the government involved and have things go as smoothly as they did is a major accomplishment, certainly. And you know, I'm looking at a couple of the stories here as we're talking, and you know, there'll be athletic fields, new clubhouse, new track at Pimlico. It's going to be a nice facility, obviously, with the Preakness there, but it will now be multi-use and a benefit to the city. And as you say, redevelopment is at Laurel as well. So congratulations to everybody out in Maryland. All right, let's talk some of the racing yesterday. We'll hit it mainly on some of the Gulfstream races, but just before we do that, take a look at the stretch run again of the Saudi Cup. Get your thoughts there, because Maximum Security. Again, a couple of the headlines I read said Vindication. I thought about the eighth wall. I thought Mucho Gusto was going to keep on going, but that one tires and winds up fourth. Maximum Security, nice win from him, but I think also notable, Midnight Bijou ran huge to run second in there.
I've got real issues with this whole concept, and I didn't cover it at all on the radio. The Saudi regime, and they're throwing money around, you know, to try to whitewash their horrific human rights violations. A regime that is deplorable and absolutely reprehensible. That said, I'm certainly glad that American interests, for the most part, are going to take back, most of that $20 million. And if you can't appreciate Maximum Security at this point, then you're just looking for reasons to dislike horses and dislike the game and dislike the people involved. And you can grouse about Gary West and him pursuing this ongoing legal battle, which is going to be fruitless. But the reality is the horse itself is a really cool horse, and nobody is going to question his talent. The situation in the stretch there, the Vindication thing to me is nonsensical. It's preposterous, actually. Each race is an individual event, and winning this is very nice. Not that Gary West needs the $10 million, because he doesn't. But and this is not going to supplant a Derby win. It just doesn't. But it's nice for his resume. It's nice for his reputation. It's particularly great for Louis Saez. And Saez, who has been really gallantly through the whole situation and stoic about having a Derby essentially ripped out from under him. I thought it was, from that standpoint, very happy to see him succeed like this. I know there's people that are going to sit and curse over Jason Service every time his name comes up. I'm sorry. To me, that's also kind of a ridiculous posturing. He's done an amazing job with this horse, and he's been ready. Whenever he's been right, the horse has performed, and it's great that we'll have the rest of the season with him. I guess today they said they're discounting a run in Dubai, which is fine. If he comes back and points for the Breeders' Cup Classic and makes his way through a few more assignments between now and November, that's fine. Midnight Bisou, tremendous ride by Mike Smith. He's being fined $210,000 for use of the whip, which I thought that, 210. 60% of his share of the $3.5 million that she made. Nice. I criticized Jeff Bloom. I was surprised that Jeff would take a horse to Saudi Arabia, strictly on the political side of things. I didn't care for the concept, but it's a lot of money, and he certainly turned in a terrific effort. But the villain in this, Gerard Ortiz. Because if you can't watch that stretch run and see what Arad Ortiz is doing there, trying to basically herd and impede maximum security every which way he can, Smith gets fined $200,000. What about Ortiz? How is he not fined that they will get dazed out of that? But anyway, the whole concept to me was off-putting, but, they're horses, and we love watching competition, I just wish it wasn't there and under those circumstances.
Yeah, I think there are other people that have similar feelings, but as you say, at least we take home the lion's share of the money. All right, let's get back to the American racing, Gulfstream Park yesterday. I went over some of the stakes action, but I left some of the stakes yesterday to talk about with you. And first up, we'll take a look at the Fountain of Youth, and we're going to actually watch the entire race here, because you have to look at the start from Flo Jo, Florent Giroux, leaving from the outside post with Ete Indian. He kind of quarter horses the eventual winner out of there to get position as he had to do, and then takes them all the way around. Dennis's moment winds up last in the field of 10 as the 6-5 favorite. So kind of a dud there. Candy Tycoon runs second, As Seen on TV, who I thought was a contender in here, runs third, but it was a nice, it was just another nice ride from Florent Giroux to get the horse out there, get the lead, and then kind of take him all the way around and have plenty left in the stretch. And I'll tell you what, I also think it flatters Tis the Law off of the last performance where Ete Indian finished second to Tis the Law in the Holy Bull. Your thoughts in yesterday's Fountain of Youth?
Well, I wonder, first of all, if Safi Joseph is questioning his decision, right, to scratch.
Yeah.
Because, watching what happened there with one horse, you had the horse inside, the 50-1 shot scratch, and that moved everybody in at one. The difference here, it goes back to Giroux and Gunrunner. And in fact, in Jay Prithman's wrap-up of the race, he brings that up with Giroux and said, how much of that effort harkened back to what you did with Gunrunner when he was out in the 10 hole for the Pegasus? And he said, absolutely the same concept, which was get to the corner and save as much ground, and it worked. It worked. I mean, you don't try that, and a couple of other horses, go with you. It'll get that jump out of the gate, and then suddenly you're four wide, and you're losing ground, and maybe it's a slightly different result. The fact is, this horse, ultimately just blew them all away, and I think we got to digest some things about the racetrack yet. Last night I was looking at the figures, and very curiously, everybody yesterday, except for the filly, except for the Devona Dale winner, who had that huge performance two back, almost everybody ran a career top buyer. And I want to digest what was going on with that racetrack. I mean, was that say Indian that much better than those four horses that photoed for second? Is that dominant? Was there that much of a difference? And the answer could be yes. I mean, you got a 9-7 buyer here, and anybody that's been paying attention to the work that Patrick Biancone is doing, had to know that this horse had every opportunity if they got the right trip, and he certainly did. This is a serious horse. And you go next week, the other one, Sol Galante, is running in the Tampa Bay Derby next week. I mean, Patrick, there's every likelihood that Biancone, with I think a string of maybe 25, is going to have two horses in the Derby. it's quite something. I know people that curse when Patrick's name comes up. I have got a lot of respect for Patrick Biancone. He's a serious horseman, and these horses that he picked out for modest money, not a lot of money, it's two one of these horses. Sol Galante and Etay at the end. This is a great, great story, from my perspective, and I think the rest of them will see. I mean, Dad's horse ran okay. Country Grammar, this wasn't the goal for them. The Wood Memorial is his goal, and so that's a little bit more experience for him. The rest of them, Shatsky and as seen on TV, I don't think they're two turn horses long term. I think they, want to veer back for one turn assignment. Other than that, the disappointment obviously is Dennis's Moment, and Dale did not have an answer as of last night. At first, they thought maybe he grabbed a quarter. Then they came back and said, nope, that wasn't the issue. But something, I don't know if he bled. Something wasn't obviously right, because that performance was just too bad to be believed.
Yeah, last in the field of 10, so we'll see how.
But he was eased out of it. I mean, he basically was, sort of, when it became obvious after half mile, they just sort of eased him out.
Chart margin for the winner, though, 8.5 at the quarter pole. He was pulling away. Good looking win, as they say. I think he also flatters Tis the Law in there, but nice performance by Etay Indian. All right, you mentioned it earlier, and I wanted to pull up the 3-year-old girls because I thought Tonalist Shape. I had Spices Nice on top, the Pletcher horse. But I thought Tonalist Shape, and I talked to Safi Joseph yesterday and asked him about the buyer that went in the wrong direction in the 3-year-old debut, and he said, kind of ignore that. And I thought that was legitimate. I mean, the horse won by 3.5. How much is the horse going to win by? When they win like that, the buyer kind of, it's just, if the horse had won by a nose, maybe. But when they win by 3.5, how much more of a margin do you want to get the buyer to bounce up? But Tonalist Shape bounces back nicely yesterday off, again, a buyer that had dipped in the 3-year-old debut and wins. We'll watch the stretch run of the Devona Dale, number 9, Tonalist Shape. The Pletcher horse, an only career start number 2, and obviously the stakes debut, pretty good second, but just could not make up ground here. Spices Nice is the 6 horse, and number 2 is Dream Marie. But I thought it was, as I say, a good performance from Tonalist Shape to stay undefeated in 5 starts.
This was impressive, I could see on the turn that she was just going to, continue on and was going to clearly hold anybody at bay. How much of this is the racetrack?
Yeah,
I think you got to watch these races again and see if some horses got carried by the track. At some point, that the inside, I'm going to have to go back and watch, because it looked like Spices Knife was getting a nice stalking trip, and then when it came time, you know, to try to advance, it looked like she was just kind of spinning her wheels. And the other thing, I think like you, I went with Spices Knife on top, and some of that was off the clocking report, and the fact that Tony's dream had not necessarily been working as well as she had earlier in the winter, and so, you know, I thought maybe they'd catch her a little flat-footed, but no, this was impressive. 87 buyer for her. The whole Philly scene is improving rapidly. If you haven't seen that Philly that debuted yesterday at Oaklawn for John Sadler and Costa Aronis, Edgeway, just a spectacular debut. 94 buyer going 6 furlongs at Oaklawn in the opener yesterday. That's a jaw dropper.
Well, we'll go back for a minute to the three-year-old boys. What are your thought now on the three-year-old boys? I thought the performance yesterday flattered Tis the Law, and I thought he was on top prior to that. So Tis the Law looks pretty good. But, of course, everybody now waiting for Charlatan, the Baffert horse, to see what happens with that one next.
Well, I wouldn't worry about Charlatan as much as look forward to Authentic and Nadal. I mean, those are the ones that got, coming back around. You got the San Felipe next week. You got the Rebel the week after. And, Baffert's just sort of laying in wait to some degree. Then there's Charlatan. If it's too late for him to really get heavily involved. But I would say that the Baffert, the three-headed Baffert monster out there with Authentic, Nadal, and Thousand Words, we've already got those three. And, then a couple of others. You got the Royal Act that is going to turn out to be Peter Erton's better three-year-old than Storm the Court. There's plenty yet to be seen from the West Coast, and then we've got what's going to happen at Louisiana as well. Get that set to come back again, and Silver Prospector for that set of Asmussen. That's like 8 horses that'll probably run in the next 2-3 weeks. I didn't even realize Rowdy Yates to Saudi Arabia was 4th in that race yesterday for the 3-year-olds.
Right.
So there's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I like Silver Prospector, too. I think that one's going to be interesting. It'll be fun to see. And next week, of course, Tampa Bay Derby. So we are firmly on the trail at this point. Just before we let you go, one more race, Gulfstream Park Mile. I had Dale on yesterday, and we talked a little bit about Mr. Freeze. And I wonder if he just isn't getting better as a 5-year-old and a player now in the handicap division, at least on the mile side, because he looked good yesterday in the Gulfstream Park Mile. Mr. Freeze is going to be the number 9 horse here. Goes off as the 5-2 favorite. Wins by a chart margin of 3 lengths. Fat Man second. Hog Creek Hustle third. True Timber fourth. But Mr. Freeze, as I say, just seems to maybe be getting better now as a 5-year-old.
There's no doubt. And, I don't think he's limited to one turn distances. I mean, how much better could he run in the Pegasus?
Yeah,
he got overhauled by Mucho Gusto, but this was a big step forward too. This is a career best buyer for him, a 107 in this spot, and clearly Dale, I think, has got to point him for the Met Mile. Maybe he cut back to 7/8 at Churchill for the Churchill Downs Handicap on Derby weekend. But Mr. Freeze really serious for two of Dale's really long term owners, Tim Bakke and Jerry Isbister. And this is a to honor and serve. And to honor and serve got exported to Korea, wherever he went. But his horses, we never really, we really haven't seen them as older horses. And so it's pretty clear that as a mature 5-year-old horse, Mr. Freeze, well on his way. And he's got a Tabasco Cat mare, I think he's on his way to earning himself a shot, in the breeding shed. This is a big performance, and it's probably being overlooked a little bit with everything, with the other stories from Saturday. But I was impressed. I thought that was that effort and we found a youth winner, Zulu Alpha, at Oakland. I thought those were tremendous. Some of the best efforts of the day, you know, all over the place.
And, of course, you will be covering it all on Sirius and XM this week on the radio show At the Races. So we'll be tuned in for that, certainly. And, Steve, appreciate the visit this morning, and wish you a lot of good luck this afternoon with Carlisle Bell.
I appreciate it, Seth. Sorry, I missed you last week. We'll get back in the swing of things on Wednesday.
Who were you talking to? I didn't mind. I was sitting home. I was listening to the conversation. You had somebody. Oh, you were, it was, I think it was the AP Indy conversation, I think.
Yeah, you know, well, we first of all, we had down in Florida, they had an issue down in Florida Monday, so that hurt a little bit. And then there were two big passings. We probably should mention, in addition to AP Indy, and there was plenty of coverage, we also paid tribute to Tommy Trotter, who's one of
my favorite people.
Yeah, the last, in the 15 years I've been doing the show, and getting to know Tommy Trotter and his wife Ellie, you know, one of the real privileges, and actually Bob Quigley too, last week, 90 and 93, respectively. Tommy, 93, an absolute legend in the racing office as a gentleman in this game. They don't get finer than Tommy Trotter, and the outpouring of affection for him all week has been amazing. And as for AP Indy, I mean, what are you going to say? How many horses, you know, sell for $2 million and change, fulfill their expectation, from the sales ring to the racetrack, and then go on and maybe even exceed his accomplishments on the racetrack? It's just amazing what AP Indy did. And then, of course, you know, being the grandsire of Tappet, it's just a horse that is shaping the breed and will be in pedigree forever.
And as I say, she had some good conversation on the radio show about those topics as well, if people want to go back and catch the archive. Steve, again, appreciate the visit, and we'll talk again.
You got it. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Steve Bick, At the Races, Sirius and XM. Check it out for more recaps on stakes action from the weekend on your radio or via the archives as well. I'm looking up. They have kicked off the pregame show at Gulfstream, so I'll wrap up and we can get to that. As always, want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. All right, going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for this Sunday morning. Thanks to Steve Bick for joining us. Nice little recap of a lot of the really, really good stakes action from yesterday. But racing continues today. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so, I suppose, for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. So enjoy the pregame show down at Gulfstream. See if you can get some good ideas there. We will be back for OTB Live, and as I say, about an hour and a half, and we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.